If you will turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 12, as I'm going to be reading the first 8 verses of John chapter 12. Here we have a story of servanthood. It's the new year. A lot of us take up new endeavors, activities in which we change our lives. Well, today we want to look at a passage which should tell us what should be the main endeavor always for our lives. And in a word, it is serving Christ. And we're going to see this through the story of Mary anointing Jesus. Let's give attention to what God's word says. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. And then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why was this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, may we come to this passage of Scripture. May your Holy Spirit, as we have read it, impress upon our hearts what you want for our lives. Have mercy upon us and illuminate our minds this morning. Hear our prayer. Amen. It's a new year. Time for change. And for some of you, beginning the new year may mean that you try a new hairstyle, a new recipe, and some may even have the resources to go out and buy a new car, a new house. Or we may take up some sort of new year challenge for our lives. Doing something new, something interesting, that not only applies to your life, but also to the church as well. I want you to think of some of the names that churches have to try to attract people to them. They're trying to do something new. Now, in my hometown of Colonial Heights, Virginia, Colonial Heights Baptist Church used to meet in a traditional building. It was known as Colonial Heights Baptist Church, but they moved, they got a new building, and they are no longer Colonial Heights Baptist Church, but the Heights. Now, that's not the only one. There are other churches as well. You have The Point. Here's some other names. You can go through the phone book and find these. You have The Bay. You also have The Transformation Church. You have The Encounter Church. And yes, there is even one called The Rhythm Church. They have all of these names. And why are they doing that? Because what they are trying to do is to show you that there is something new, something exciting for you to come and join them. It all has to do with marketing. And everybody to some degree in the church world is marketing. But then we start to think about the Bible for a moment. What does the Bible say we should be focusing on? Something new, something exciting, something that's going to get people's attention all the time? Or is there something a little more mundane that we need to be focusing on? And I would say it's the mundane. It's something that's probably not going to attract a lot of people to churches. It's called being a servant of Jesus Christ. Who wants to be a servant anymore in our times of freedom and doing what we want to do with our liberty? But yet, I would say to you that being a servant is one of the most important attributes of a follower of Christ. Now, look at the recent polls. Do you realize that in the 1930s, between 75 and 80% of Americans went to some sort of house of worship? As of 2020, that number is down into the 45% range. Yes, you can tell me people are going to mega churches, but overall, the rate of people coming to church on a regular basis is still in decline by any stretch of the imagination. And we've seen it around here. Warrington Baptist closed down. The Methodists are having problems. Every church in this area is struggling in some sense. And why is it? Well, the population is declining. Yes, there is a certain hardness of heart. But I would also have to say that part of the reason people don't come to church and they don't support the kingdom of God is because they don't see themselves as servants. Oh, Bible reading and Bible sales is supposedly up, but it's not reflected in attendance. And I really think that people don't see themselves as servants of God anymore. But here, when we look at this passage, what do we see? The example of servanthood in the person of Mary. Now, when I say servanthood to you, there's probably a lot of negative connotations from American history. But do you realize, in the Bible, being a servant was part of being in the kingdom of God. Now, today, what creeps into our minds is we often think of being a Christian as like electing a presidential candidate. We elect him. We choose him. We don't like him. We vote him out of office. But God is not an elected politician. He's king. Read the Bible and you will see that he is king. He is Lord. And becoming part of his kingdom is not like joining the Rotary Club. It is not like joining the Lions Club. It's not like joining the Country Club where you pay your dues and that's it. No, the kingdom of God is different. And in the kingdom, you have a moral obligation to follow God. It is not simply you do what you want. He is a king. And we are his servant. The kingship of God is a fact of life. You may not like it. You may want to turn away from it. But it is certainly there. And when it comes to our life, we are servants in his kingdom. One of the passages that always comes to my mind is from Luke 17. And I got to tell you, it's not a passage I like. But Jesus is talking to his disciples. And his disciples are thinking about the great things that they're going to do. And Jesus says to them, look, if a servant comes to his master and asks to be congratulated because he did his duty, what do you think the master is going to say? You just did your duty. It deflates our idea that we are so wonderful that we need to have special breaks all the time. It reminds us of who we are, that we are in the kingdom and we have a duty to serve God. And the reason that you should want to serve God as a servant is because of what he's done. He is the one who died on the cross because you are sinful. He is the one who gave up the glories of heaven to come into this miserable, sin-filled world to do something about you, which no one else could do. It's the cross. It's the cross. Martin Luther, the German reformer, once said this: when you look at Jesus on the cross, what more do you want to do but to follow him? The servant. There was a very popular movie out some years ago. It was about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the disciples have heard the good news, and as one of them says about the resurrection, this changes everything. But so does the cross. It changes how we look at life and how we act towards each other. And so when you think of your life this year, here's what you need to keep in mind. Do I see myself as a servant of Jesus Christ? Do I see myself as a follower? Do I see myself as having a purpose in life, and that purpose is to do God's bidding in whatever way he calls me, whether you are at church or at school or at work? That's what he's calling us to this morning. And when we think of the piety of the Christian faith, it comes down to servanthood. Now, as you look at this passage, let me tell you, there is a wrong way to go about following Jesus. And the way that you can understand that from what we've just read is to look at this passage and ask yourself, which character in here irritates you the most? It's not Mary. It's not Jesus. Who is it? It's Judas, isn't it? And in this passage, notice what the seemingly pious Judas says. Well, that money, that expensive perfume, she should have given that to the poor. Do you see the piety, the false bravado of the piety here? Oh, she should have taken all that and given the money to the poor. It sounds so pious. It sounds so upright. It sounds so politically correct. But he's wrong. And why is he wrong? Because his priorities are all wrong. As Jesus goes on to say later, the poor you always have you, but I'm here in your midst. I am the Son of God. I am King. And what Mary is doing is correct, because she is doing what? Preparing me for my death. And in this section of John's gospel, he is headed towards Jerusalem. He is headed towards the cross. He is headed towards the atonement to bring salvation to all of us. And yet there is this false piety in the midst of it. And the Pharisees had a tendency to do that with their Korban laws, in which they were to dedicate something to God, but instead they were taking the money from their parents who needed the help. And there are other examples as well when it came to fasting, which really wasn't about Christ or God. It was about their reputations. So they would go around with their long faces. And in our times too, there are people who seemingly can be so religious, but they've got the wrong focus, because it's not on Christ. It's on something else they can talk about, they can brag about. And when you think of what draws people to the Christian church, sometimes it is a false piety which has nothing at all to do with Jesus Christ. We call it hypocrisy. And not only is he a hypocrite, look what else it says about him. He's dipping into the money purse. He's taking the money for his own use, once again showing that his faith is a sham. What do they say about this disciple? He's all hat, no cowboy. Or as Scott and I were talking about, when you deal with houses, you got to put lipstick on a pig. This disciple
is lipstick on a pig. It looks good. It sounds good. But it's false. He's a liar. And I want you to remember something. Just because people in the Christian church can come around and say, I'm a Christian, or I've done this, or I've done that, it may be a lie. You know why it's a lie? Because it's all focused on them, or it's focused on something devious. It's not focused on Christ. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not stand. He also says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Because it's not about Jesus in these people's lives, is it? It's about something else. Keep in mind, there is such a thing as a false devotion. And you will see it when the focus is on deception and when the focus is on something else besides Jesus Christ. And in the new year, we need to think about ourselves. Is our Christianity merely cosmetic? Lipstick on a pig? Or is it really about Jesus? And that brings us now to Mary. Here we have the extreme love and devotion of one woman in the Bible. I want you to look at it for a moment. She takes the role of a servant. And here's the scene. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they're having a party, a gathering. And Martha is running around taking care of the guests. Oh, you need some more chips? Let me give them to you. Oh, a napkin here. Have one. Oh, a spill. Don't worry about it. We'll get it later. Making sure everything is fine at their little party. But then there's Mary. And I want you to know what she's doing here. She's taking a very, very expensive jar of perfume and she washes Jesus' feet with what? Not a towel, her hair. In a household, the person who is supposed to wash someone's feet, that was like low down. Servant of servants, that's like entry level servanthood. What does she do? She's willing to wipe the master's feet. Something the lowest of the low would do. That's what she does. She's playing the role of a servant. And what draws people to church? Is it servanthood? But look at the focus here. It's on someone who's serving, wiping feet. And I want you to notice what Jesus does in John chapter 13 before he dies. He washes the disciples' feet. Once again, our master playing the role of a servant. You think it's trying to tell us something? I do. I think it's trying to tell us what Jesus wants in all of us is that type of servanthood. That's what draws people. Back in the old NFL, back I think in the 70s, Dallas Cowboys had two running backs, Tony Dorsett. Oh, he was Mr. Flash. He was the big name. But there was another running back which you didn't hear a lot about, Timmy Newsom. Now, Timmy Newsom wasn't that big, but his thighs were like my waist. He was just that muscular. Tony Dorsett would have never gotten those yards unless there was a Timmy Newsom blocking for him because he was a servant. May he didn't get the big cheers, the publicity. But man, he helped out the team playing that role of the blocking back. Servant. That's what we're called to. And I want you to notice one other little tidbit here. How costly was this? Well, it tells you in your Bibles that this cost approximately a year's wages. I don't know what you make in a year, but that's a lot of money to spend on perfume. This perfume was probably from India or the Himalayas. It was something that you just didn't pour out rashly. But yet she's willing to pour out all that money for the Savior. See, a servant is the one who is willing to serve and to give extravagantly. Now, this morning, I'm not griping at you because most of you should feel good about yourself because you have given to this church. You have given your time and your talents. But yet, I think inside of us, there is this creeping notion that it's not worth it. But what do you think Jesus thinks? I think he's pleased. And yet there may be others who have a problem with giving of themselves. Back when I used to coach cross country, I used to tell the runners, if you can't suffer for 20 minutes in a race, what can you suffer through? And yet I've heard people say, well, why can't I come to church? It's too early in the morning. Suffering for Jesus, I see. Suffering for Jesus. We're called to be servants of the living God, just as Jesus was a servant. And so in this new year, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Lots of things could happen. But I think we all have to have in our minds as members of this church is that we are servants. And we must give extravagantly to our Savior in whatever he calls us to do this year. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, to follow you with the same type of extravagant love Mary had, and also which you, Jesus, practiced when you gave yourself for us on the cross, when you washed the disciples' grimy feet. And help us not to get caught up into the extravagance of life, but draw us to the extravagance of devotion to you. Hear our prayer. Amen.